Chapter 4. The Voice in the Desert. Dr. Stefano R. was not seeking rebellion, he was only trying to remain faithful to an ancient promise. While the halls of knowledge around him filled with new standardized procedures and the faces of his colleagues grew distant, protected by cold bureaucratic protocols, he continued to climb the stairs of Silent Homes, carrying his leather bag and an intuition that grew sharper every day. "Doctor," they said, "there is nothing else to do but wait and watch for time to take its course," an elderly woman told him, as the shadow of unease loomed over the bed beside them. Stefano shook his head, feeling the weight of a responsibility that the official doctrine seemed to have lost. "Time does not heal on its own, ma'am. And observation and waiting is only a mask for the helplessness imposed upon us." In those weeks, Stefano rediscovered truths that the dominant narrative sought to leave on the margins. The threat was not invincible if faced with the dedication of the past and the wise use of what was already known. He noticed that wherever one intervened with courage and proximity, fear vanished and breathing became regular once more. But this effectiveness was, paradoxically, his gravest sin. Every time Stefano brought back a glimmer of hope without relying exclusively on the path traced by the palace, he was, in effect, committing an act of sabotage against the infallibility of the system. The center did not ask for solutions, it demanded unanimous adherence to a single, predefined path. The first signs of dissent arrived in the form of formal communications, as sterile as the language that had generated them. "You are straying from the beaten path, Stefano. Your actions create a dissonance in the chorus. If everyone followed their own conscience, the entire structure of the collective plan would risk faltering. My duty is to safeguard the individual, not to maintain the order of a schedule," he replied during an official meeting, observing gazes that seemed to have forgotten human warmth behind the statistics. The reaction was a progressive and subtle marginalization. The public narrative began to paint him as an eccentric figure, a man who jeopardized general stability by ignoring the new canons of institutional knowledge. His voice was gradually isolated, his results ignored by the great ledgers, almost as if they had never happened. Stefano found himself in a solitude made of silences. Even those who shared his doubts, held back by the fear of losing their positions, chose to look away. But ostracism was not the greatest pain, it was the awareness of the new pact being forged over people's heads. He saw that the tool proposed as the only solution was being introduced with a pressure that left no room for reflection, while the shadows that emerged from it were labeled as mere coincidences. One evening, in his shadow-drenched study, Stefano leafed through the accounts of the lives he had seen return to the light. He knew that the truth resided in those grateful gazes, but he also felt that the system had become a mechanism too vast and impersonal to allow a single voice to dent its surface. The weariness of one who glimpses reality in a world of eyes turned elsewhere began to weigh more than it should. It was not just fatigue, it was the pain of one who sees the face of a new authority wearing the white coat of those who, by mission, should have only served life.